Everybody's here. Good morning, everyone. This is a work session of the Portland City Council. It's great to see everybody here on a beautiful day. Today's date is what, February 2nd? Colleagues, I'm pleased to join you today in this work session. Focusing on community safety is a shared priority and an area of focus for each of us on the City Council and, of course, for city leadership more generally. I'd like to start by thanking our public safety chiefs and directors for joining us, in particular, Fire Chief Boone, Director Cozy from the Bureau of Emergency, Cozy from the Bureau of Emergency Communications, Director Myers, and Chief Lavelle. Thank you all for joining us. I'd also like to thank Tom Reinhart, his team, for their leadership framing this approach and for the conversation that we're going to have today. I launched the Public Safety Working Group several years ago to begin a shared strategy for the city's fire, emergency management, emergency communications, and police bureaus. I'm proud that this work session is an outcome of that ongoing process, and I'm excited by the amount of energy, support, and focus that the council is bringing to this really important conversation. We are, without any question, at an inflection point. Last year, many thousands of Portlanders, in fact, tens of thousands of Portlanders, peacefully demonstrated and called for racial justice, community safety reforms, and heightened police accountability. Among them were many Portlanders who've been speaking those values and advocating for those changes their entire lives. We must be responsive to the community's needs. We must also ensure that the nearly 500,000 calls for service that go to our dispatch each year are answered in a way that best meets people's needs. We must do our shared best to ensure that all Portlanders feel safe at home, at work, and in their community. And as we know, one size does not fit all when it comes to safety. People's needs are different depending upon who they are and their lived experiences. Our approach collectively to communicate safety cannot be solely focused only on police response. This is a mistake governments have made for far too long. While they are an important factor to consider, we must consider the system as a whole. Our approach must address the many different layers of social and structural barriers and inequities. It must be thoughtful and it must be innovative. And it must, beyond anything else, be collaborative. I want to make sure that now and into the future, the city is responsive to Portlanders who need help. Colleagues, it's going to take all of us, our community, working in partnership to build and implement new solutions and develop new tools. We have a number of initiatives, including the Portland Street Response, which is about to begin its pilot year. The Police Bureau's Public Safety Support Specialist Program, the reinvestment of millions of dollars into communities of color, gathering public input from the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing's upcoming core patrol services town halls, the expansion and development of the Office of Violence Prevention, and a new community safety director position, to name just a few of the changes that we've made of late. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have us all come together in this important discussion today. And with that, I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to invite Tom Reinhart, Chief Administrative Officer, to get us going. And Tom, I want to thank you for agreeing to facilitate today's discussion.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm looking forward to it. Good morning to the whole City Council. For the record, my name is Tom Reinhart. I'm very proud to be your Chief Administrative Officer and excited to be facilitating today. Thanks for all the hard work from you and your staffs to help us put it together. As you know, today's session is focused on community safety, which you all identified 2 weeks ago as one of your top three priorities for the city. I'm going to begin today by grounding all of us in the agenda and what we hope to accomplish so we can be clear about the work ahead. Today's work session, as we've told you in briefings previously, to prepare for today, will remain high level, focused on your shared priorities and key questions that merit further analysis, in particular, your ideas about what the process should look like going forward as well. We will not be providing you with a detailed informational briefing, though our bureau directors and chiefs in this area will get us going with a brief discussion of their priorities so you understand where they're coming from. I want to be clear that today is not focused on next year's budget decisions. While the important questions you will discuss certainly have big financial implications and will eventually inform your thinking on the budget, I will work very hard today to keep you centered on developing medium and long-term goals, because without doing that, we will not get to real change. As we are seeing all across the country, transforming our work in this area is going to take diligence and persistence. So as you can see on the slide here, we have three main goals for today. We very much want to identify your priorities within community safety so that we can provide initial direction for our community safety transition director. Interviews start this month for that position, so we're getting close to bringing someone on board. Two, we're going to identify policy questions related to your priorities. We know that you'll need additional information gathering and analysis. And frankly, as I think I've told all of you and your teams, we want to get better at this as a city in terms of providing the full council options and be clear about trade-offs and implications for all the decisions you make. Three, we're going to have a discussion about roles and process moving forward. There's a lot going on in this area, as the mayor mentioned, both within the community, community partnerships with the city, and within the city as an organization. So let's look briefly at the agenda, make sure we're all in agreement about how we're moving forward today. As you can see, we'll spend most of our time on discussion amongst the five of you. As I mentioned, we have asked the directors to kick things off with a quick intro about how each bureau is thinking about priorities around community safety and their role in the transformation that the mayor described. Then I will facilitate a discussion after that with all of you. We'll get into what we really want to do with the policy questions within community safety, what all of you are thinking. Thanks in advance for council members that have already developed questions and thoughts in this area. I will do a quick overview of ground rules before the discussion. Thanks to Commissioner Ryan for that suggestion after the last work session. After about 45 minutes, we'll transition to process, and then we'll close out with a recap. My team, just so you know that you don't have to be jotting down everything, my team will be drafting follow-up research questions as we go, and we'll want to close with an edit of all those follow-up questions so we're clear on the research and analysis that we will hand off to the Community Safety Transition Director. We'll want your green light on that before we adjourn. Okay, so quick context here before I turn it over to Bureau leadership. Let's return briefly to the definition of community safety that you discussed a week and a half ago. As a reminder, the council agreed that while public safety is often focused on policing, community safety encompasses more than that. How safety looks and feels to different people, and that there are many different ways for people to feel safe and secure. This is, I think, a long overdue recognition that there are many different services that the city is a part of and that our partners are a part of that contribute to safety in the community. We've highlighted four key areas that we'll ask you to discuss during your discussion time. As you can see here, we tried to cull these from what came out a couple weeks ago and in follow-up conversations. Please listen to the following for these questions in the roundtable and keep them in mind as you listen to the directors and chiefs in a couple minutes. So for fire, Portland Fire and Rescue, one thing that keeps coming up that we want to give you context on is that it's clear that, as we all know, fire and rescue plays a crucial role in preventing and responding to fires. This was made even more starkly clear as they played a heroic role in the response to the wildfires that raged across our state a few months ago. But the reality is that more than two-thirds of the city's calls are for medical issues. So we want you to be listening and thinking about what changes to the service model might you want that are necessary to support effective and sustainable response going forward. So what changes to the Portland Fire and Rescue service model should we be thinking about? This has floated around for a long time, but we haven't had a real clear direction from council. On policing, of course, there's been lots of focus on the need to change our policing model, and this discussion and debate is happening all over the country, long overdue and badly needed. We have a small number, as the mayor mentioned, of public safety support specialists, as we call them, PS3s, We have a Portland Street Response pilot that we're all excited about. But one question that we want you thinking about as the chief outlines priorities and for the police bureau is, how are you thinking about the role of all these models in your vision for the future of policing? Is there anything else we should be considering? And what are your thoughts on that as you talk to constituents? 911, as we affectionately call the Bureau of Emergency Communications, BOEC, how do we need to change our 911 call taking and dispatch for a future with different types of responses to emergency calls? Director Causey will talk you through some of the great work going there, but we want your ideas. And I know for one, Commissioner Mapps has questions and ideas on this. And lastly, as you can see, this is probably the most thorny and more long-term set of challenges that we have. We know we can reduce the need for emergency services if our people are healthier and more secure. How can we help promote that through what we loosely call upstream investments and better connections to services? The mayor and Commissioner Hardesty have both talked about this over the last couple of years as stronger connections to Multnomah County and the state and the federal government on a whole variety of things. So we want some direction from you on how we should pursue that as well. So I also want to recognize one last thing before we go to the director's roundtable. There are a lot of pieces of community safety transformation work that are not represented by the four bureaus we've asked to be here today. I expect these efforts to come out in the discussion today as well, and they're here on this slide, and, you know, and there are probably more, but we wanted to give recognition both inside the city to many different groups that are working on various efforts, partnership efforts, organizations that we know of and are working with outside of city government. In short, this is a big and complex effort with lots of groups and people involved, and we don't want to discount that. We want to recognize that. Today, we're mainly focused on the four bureaus that historically have been charged with safety in the city. So any questions on the agenda and what we expect to accomplish today before I introduce the Bureau Directors Roundtable? And sorry if I missed anything from you, Council. I'm toggling between multiple screens here in my basement. Okay, we're doing okay.
Yeah, and Tom, I'm just monitoring the hand.
Okay.
Nobody's got a question.
Great. Okay, so we're gonna turn to our directors. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'm gonna ask each of you one at a time to talk a bit about your priorities for the coming years and how you see your bureau playing a role in community safety transformation. We've asked each of you to prepare. We appreciate you taking the time to do that. Council, if you have questions while each leader is speaking, please put them in the chat or hold them for the end of the panel. Of course, if you have one that's burning, raise your hand and we'll make sure that you can ask it within the next 20 minutes. Director Myers, you are leading us off.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Good morning, Mayor, members of Council and colleagues, and thank you for having me today. My name is Mike Myers. I'm the Director of Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. PBEM's strategy and tactics have a cross-lateral shared connection with many of our community partners. The data is clear. Neighborhoods in Portland whose vibrancy is high, where social determinants of health are met, don't experience fire. Pedestrians are less likely to get hit and violence has not taken root. And we at PBEM need not provide food security to these residents during a disaster. But neighborhoods where social determinants of health are not met, it is these neighborhoods where tragedy and violence disproportionately occur. It is these neighborhoods where we must work with community-based organizations to provide for basic needs. I've said this as your fire chief, and I'll say it again as your emergency manager. Vibrant cities don't burn. People need and deserve access to healthcare, safe walkable streets, safe parks to play in, access to healthy food, education, livable wages, jobs. They don't need incarceration, blight, or neglected spaces. The data is clear. Vibrant cities use fire services less, police services less, they call 911 less, and they depend on disaster aid less. Our shared goal should be upstreaming investments in neighborhoods to the benefit of all. Over the next 12 months, PBEM will be focusing on COVID-19 stabilization. I have heard it stated many ways. We are in the third inning of the ball game, or we are not at the beginning of the end, but rather the end of the beginning of this pandemic. We have a long way to go. This is a two-player game. One is optimism. where we were able to mass vaccinate at the level that we outpaced the mutated variants. Or the second player is pessimism, where the mutated variants outpace the vaccine. Who will be the winner, the variants or the vaccine? The Emergency Coordination Center is focused on working collaboratively across city bureaus and alongside our regional partners with a full commitment toward success. We will continue to give you our very, very best. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your leadership and laying that out succinctly. Division Chief Gillespie, we appreciate you standing in for Chief Boone. We know you are prepared. Welcome. Go for it.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning. My name is Ryan Gillespie. I'm Division Chief of Emergency Operations for Portland Fire and Rescue. Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Hardesty, great to see you. Commissioner Rubio, Commissioner Mapps, and Commissioner Ryan, it's nice to virtually meet you for the first time. Today, I am going to speak just briefly and cover who we are, what we do, and some of our challenges and successes. Portland Fire and Rescue is the largest fire rescue and emergency services provider in the state of Oregon. In fiscal year 1920, we responded to over 83,000 calls for emergency services. Our emergency operations model is a network of fire and rescue stations with apparatus strategically positioned across our geographic service area to maximize response reliability, deploy appropriate resources, and to minimize response time and community risk. Our fire and rescue stations provide an effective emergency response network 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We operate 28 engine companies, 10 truck companies, 4 rapid response vehicles or RRVs, heavy squad unit, and we respond out of 31 fire stations. Additional support is provided by other specialty units that are cross-staffed. This includes water rescue, marine response, urban wildland interface, and the list goes on. Portland Fire and Rescue provides cost efficiencies to the public because of the highly trained, all hazards, fire and rescue personnel who serve as first responders on fire rescue and medical calls, as well as high risk natural disasters, such as earthquake, pandemics, floods, and landslides, and other catastrophic events, such as explosions, building collapse, and terrorist events. It is important to note the original intent of the 911 system is still valid today for critical calls, which require rapid triage, rapid response, and rapid intervention. Unfortunately, because of larger social and health system deficiencies, the 911 system has become a safety net for people who are facing lower acuity, non-life-threatening crises. There are many people in our city without adequate access to healthcare, and the EMS, Emergency Medical Services System, has become the last option for these folks. Rapid response and intervention are critically important to saving lives. As fires can double in size every minute, medical emergencies, brain death due to lack of oxygen begins within 4 minutes without intervention. The ability to resuscitate a person from cardiac arrest decreases 10% with every minute advanced life support measures are delayed. For anyone who's experiencing an emergency, the time it takes for Portland Fire and Rescue to arrive is critical and can ultimately affect the outcome for people needing emergency response services. In addition, our core services prevent emergencies from occurring through community education and fire prevention, including plan review and code enforcement. We continue to develop strategies to evolve from a reactive medical response model to proactively addressing the social and behavioral determinants of health that lead to residents relying on 911 for regular medical services. Through community connections and education, PF&R can reduce calls to 911, improve patient outcomes, and reduce healthcare system costs. Identified projects include building up preventative community-based health model through partnerships, expansion of our community health assessment team, increasing the number of community relationships to develop specific health and safety solutions. We have asked our partners and our communities to work together with us to ensure we reach the populations with the greatest disparities. In addition to our normal operations, we have responded to multiple challenging events in 2020. The City of Portland has faced an ongoing public health crisis with the COVID-19 pandemic. A record number of protest events have taken place within the city, and the 2020 Oregon wildfire season has been one of the most destructive on record. At the outset of the pandemic, Our EMS section instituted new protocols to protect firefighters and patients, while our logistics section efficiently procured adequate PPE, personal protective equipment, to support the workforce. The Bureau, in partnership with Multnomah County Aging, Disability, and Veterans Services, initiated the Portland Fire and Rescue Meds on Wheels outreach program to offer a prescription pickup and delivery service to the 65 and older population and those with disabilities who desperately needed life-sustaining medications, but were unable to leave their home because of exposure risk. Our community health team partnered with Multnomah County Public Health to conduct targeted COVID-19 testing for Portland's most vulnerable and disproportionately impacted community members. We have now followed steps to become a vaccination provider and provide vaccinations to city and regional public safety partners. The Bureau is staffing county vaccination sites and has the capacity to support an aggressive vaccination effort across the city to include mobile vaccination teams. We are committed to taking a leadership role on reducing carbon emissions and promoting sustainability in the fire service, including projects piloting hybrid electric apparatus and converting city fleet vehicles to hybrid and electric, implementing LED lighting upgrades and other energy efficient measures, and exploring co-location and other collaboration opportunities with other city bureaus. We will continue to evaluate our services and explore opportunities for cost recovery. In 2019, we implemented cost recovery for lift assist responses to licensed care facilities. This was a case where private businesses were being subsidized by public services. We are committed to exploring other areas such as this and pursuing cost recovery if appropriate. We act as an important safety net for those experiencing houselessness or those who are without support systems. In fiscal year 19, we responded to over 4,400 calls involving the houseless community. In fiscal year 20, that number increased to over 12,000. In 2 weeks, we are launching the Portland Street Response pilot program as a complement to the existing fire, medical, and police capabilities within the city of Portland. PSR will fill a critical need in the 911 response model by dispatching more appropriate responders to non-life-threatening crisis-related calls that are low acuity and non-emergent in nature. PSR first responders are unarmed and specially trained to provide crisis intervention for non-criminal, non-life-threatening 911 calls that pertain to mental health, substance use, and welfare check calls. It's important for us to recognize we do not have all the answers to our community's challenges. We have an exciting opportunity in front of us to work as a team across the community safety bureaus and reimagine community safety. We are currently working with BOEC on ProQA, a new dispatch system. We are partnering with City Hall and multiple stakeholders on Portland Street Response. We are working closely with Multnomah County on upstream strategies and addressing health disparities. We have an incredible opportunity to evaluate recruitment, hiring, and retention across the community safety bureaus and work together to prioritize BIPOC recruitment through community partnerships. Finally, as government agencies, it is imperative we listen to and we learn from the communities we serve. Our duty is to truly listen and understand where we are falling short across the system. We must address institutional disparities and work together to build a system that centers the needs of our communities. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, and I look forward to further discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Division Chief Gillespie. So in the spirit of transparency, and the directors and chiefs won't be surprised, I'm gonna start getting a little harder on the time. Director Causey, if you have anything in your comments and analysis of priorities and how you fit into the community transformation that has been mentioned, please skip it. You're up, thanks.
A challenge accepted. Thank you, Tom. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, commissioners and colleagues. It's an honor to be here today to represent the 911 world and the Bureau of Emergency Communications. We have 10 strategic initiatives that are written in our strategic plan. It's a five-year plan. We're about halfway through it. But there really are three main priorities when you boil it all down that I'm looking for. The first one is to help BOEC, help our Bureau, really focus on what we're good at. Focus on emergency call taking. We are the Bureau of Emergency Communications. And of late and throughout our history, certainly over the past decade or more, it's really shifted to the Bureau of Emergency and Non-Emergency Communications. Last year, we answered over 520,000 911 calls, which you could argue are emergencies. On the flip side of that, we answered over 487,000 administrative or non-emergency telephone calls. Almost half of our business is non-emergency right now, and I'd like to see us shift away from that. The other priority is our staffing so that we are able to meet national call answering standards. And in my opinion, I'd like us to be able to exceed that. The NENA, or National Emergency Number Association standard, has changed over this past year. And there's no longer a focus on a 10-second measure, but it's worded in such a way that says 90% of all 911 calls shall be answered within 15 seconds. And 95% of all 911 calls should be answered within 20 seconds. So they have a 15-second and a 20-second rule. But I live in this community. I have family members in this community. And in my mind, I think, what is really acceptable? If I have a life and death emergency and I'm asking for help, I'm screaming for help, what's an appropriate time frame to wait for someone to answer? And I would argue that it's within 10 seconds. And even though that's not a national standard of measure anymore, I still look at our business that way. I'd like us to be able to answer all of our 911 calls within 10 seconds. With that said, we also have a focus of effectively triaging our calls for service. And we are doing that through, as Division Chief Gillespie mentioned, we're doing that partially through the implementation of our ProQA system. We're kicking that off on May 4th, on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And that kickoff is an important day because it changes how our call takers process calls for service for medical calls and fire calls only. I would like us to be able to shift that also into police calls for service so that we can have a more detailed protocol in how we process police calls. That sums up my main three priorities, and I would encourage those of you who aren't familiar with our Bureau, we have director's updates on our website and we post them every month, and there's a ton of data and information in those reports. And I welcome anyone to take a look at them and shoot me some questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thanks, Director Causey. Well done. Chief Lavelle, take up the challenge, because every minute you go over 10, the council is going to ask me why I'm eating into their time for discussion. So do your best.
Well, I've got a lot of great stuff too, Tom.
I know you do. Go for it.
Morning, Mayor, City Councilors. Thanks for having me today. I will try my best to be brief. Over the last several months, we've heard from community, whether it was during peaceful mass demonstrations, through emails, letters, or calls, and they're demanding community safety. They want to feel safe in their community. At the same time, they want PPB to be a re-envisioned agency, one that's visionary, innovative, and open to change and reform. I'm committed to being responsive to our community and their desire to build trust and an agency dedicated to being the best it can be. Throughout my career, I've built relationships, I've listened, I've walked the walk of being a public servant. I bring a unique perspective that I know will help me affect change. And as a Black man, I also bring that perspective to my job as well. I'm here today to explain why this is so important and what my vision is for PPB going forward. It's time to rebuild and earn community trust so we can do the work to serve our community the way they want to be served. You'll hear me talk a lot about trust over and over. It's one of the most important things in a relationship, and it makes everything else possible. Without rebuilding that trust, we cannot move forward. How do you rebuild trust? First, we show we care. We respond and address public safety issues. This is our core mission. And if for some reason we can't, we need to be honest and explain why. Our community members want and expect a police officer to come in a timely manner when they call, but how we do that is important. We must demonstrate that we care, that we want to help, we want to be fair and equitable in all our interactions. When our employees don't do that, when they make mistakes or don't perform in a manner in which we expect, they must be held accountable, and I expect to be held accountable as well. Even with the resource constraints, the human caring can go a long way in rebuilding that trust, even if we have to do it one person at a time. We know community policing works. We know by engaging with the community and working with them as partners to help reduce crime, it helps people have a buy-in to community safety. Our goal is to have the ability to form those relationships when we're not in a crisis. Then we can find common ground and partner with community to improve public safety. And my vision is for an agency that strives for excellence in everything we do. When it comes to reform, PPB has demonstrated its ability to continue to learn and grow. We've made significant changes, but what's most important is we're willing to do more. We want to hear community expectations for reform, especially in light of current events and in light of years of injustice. Police departments do bear responsibility, but we also share responsibility with other large institutions for errors of the past. And we're open to new ideas in public safety. We believe in being innovative. We believe in some ideas to provide services to people when police may not be the appropriate response. Until services are built, we must respond and be the connector. We look forward to working with our other public safety partners to provide excellent service and identify efficiencies. Service must be at the forefront of everything we do. I know the pandemic has significantly impacted the city's financial standing, and I appreciate and respect the work that you have before you to make difficult choices about where to invest available funds. We must address, however, that more people are leaving the police bureau than are coming in the door. We've had massive retirements and resignations. We're currently not hiring anyone. We haven't hired anyone this fiscal year due to budget. At the same time, we've been using overtime in order to have enough officers every shift on the streets. And this is not an ideal business model. And I believe in being a good steward of the public dollar. Therefore, I've made the difficult decision to reduce or eliminate specialty units to assign officers to the precincts to curb overtime. Let me be clear, this doesn't add more officers to the street. We'll have the same amount of officers on the street as we do now. We just won't be hiring them on overtime. And in addition to that, some of the important work these officers were doing, such as traffic enforcement, will now be greatly impacted. It's my job to ensure we have the staffing levels to respond to 911 calls. We must also bolster investigations. We can always take police reports, but if we don't investigate and send solid cases to the district attorney's office, people will not be held accountable. We're seeing shootings in our city and historic violence. We have to work together, combine our resources, and determine the best way of addressing this. Without the ability to hire, not only will we struggle to meet service demand, but it's a key component in meeting our goal of building trust. Unlike most other city bureaus, it takes about 6 months to ensure we're hiring the best possible candidates. And once hired, it takes an additional 18 months of training to make sure that person is trained in a way that a progressive agency demands. We also have to be the employer of choice, so we retain our employees, especially after we've trained them, developed them, invested in them, and so we can attract the very best talent. That means wellness and ensuring they thrive. I believe this is a defining moment for the future of community safety in Portland. It won't be easy, but I'm committed to rebuilding and earning the community's trust through relationship building, organizational excellence, and service and reform. We want a city where it's safe to walk down the street, where it's safe to be home, safe to play in parks, and when the pandemic is curbed, it's safe to go back to enjoying all the things we love about our city. Thank you for your time, and I'm here for any questions.
Great, thanks Chief Lavelle, and thanks to all the chiefs and directors. So Council, before I ask you to dive in, I see some of you have been making notes, and I know from previous conversations there are lots of thoughts and ideas on this. I want to just call out the obvious and recognize this is much harder in a virtual environment. Some of us haven't even met each other in this meeting, and I just want to acknowledge that. We're going to continue to do the best we can, and we are already working on scheduling a quarterly of community safety work sessions for the community safety transition director and all of you. We know that this is a start, so I just want to put that out there. I'm going to facilitate and keep the discussion productive moving forward. And we got a few ground rules we want to talk about and make sure that we're in agreement on. So one, this may be obvious, but want to make sure that we mention it and answer any questions or have any thoughts before we move forward. But we strongly recommend we focus on key issues or questions rather than try to get to answers today. As we all know, you don't make decisions or take votes in work sessions, but there is such a drive and a motivation to get to solutions on many of the issues that we're facing in this area. We think it's going to be most productive if all of you focus on the key issues and questions that you want us to follow up with you on. Two, there's lots of different experiences and knowledge in the different areas that were just presented. We obviously have a new council where there's different levels of life experience with public and community safety. And just want to acknowledge that and please take that into account as you're in the discussion. There will be direct areas of tension, and we hope there it's creative tension, and we expect there to be disagreement. A couple weeks ago, you agreed on general priorities. This is our first step into areas in which we think that there's of course going to be differences of opinion and different approaches. We ask that you consider directing that to staff for further analysis around, you know, trade-offs or areas where we can find common ground and work as a unified council and city going forward. Okay, so let's start by discussing your reactions. You were attentive in taking notes, but there weren't any questions during those presentations. So I want to take just a couple minutes around. What were your reactions to the Bureau's priorities? Is there anything that jumped out at you before we get into any policy issues and questions that may have come to your mind? Initial reactions. Go ahead, Commissioner Hardesty, just jump in.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, directors, for what was an excellent presentation from each of you. What occurred to me is how much the health of our community is tied into these bureaus, right? And how these bureaus are all interlinked to provide a community benefit for the benefit of our community. What I heard that was pretty much through all the first responder bureaus is this desire to serve the community, prioritizing the most vulnerable members of our community and ensuring that we are the right responders at the right time for the right incident. Chief Lavelle, I just want to call you out. I was moved by your presentation and your clear thoughts about being a partner in transformation. And I think that's going to be a wonderful rallying cry as we start thinking about how we pull all these other disparate efforts that are taking place around police reform. My biggest concern is that until we have all those pieces put together, it's going to be really hard to have a vision about what community safety looks like as we move forward. But what I see from each bureau is the start of putting the pieces together so that once we get to the end of this process, we will have a much more coordinated and functioning operation, right? So I'm excited about that. And I will say with the exception of the police, because they have not hired people, but I think it is the appropriate time to be thinking about how do we get to that end result, which is what does policing look like in the future moving forward, right? And I want to publicly appreciate Chief Lavelle for agreeing to participate in a truth and reconciliation process that the mayor and I and the police community engaged policing subcommittee is working to convene, which will be much bigger and broader than just policing, but one component is policing. But policing have a lot of work they need to do behind closed doors out of the public eye before we're ready to have a public conversation combined. And so what it looks like is that we have been effective over the last 2 years as really coordinating better the whole first responder system. And of course, adding Portland Street Response is going to help that system be more responsive to the needs of the most vulnerable people in our community.
Great. So thanks, Commissioner.
My first overblush of everything I heard.
Okay. Other council members, reactions to what the Bureau's laid out?
Tom, I'll go ahead and jump in. Thanks for facilitating this, by the way. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's kind of nice to be the passenger instead of the pilot sometimes. So thank you for that. First of all, I want to applaud our Bureau directors. They obviously put a lot of time and thought into this. And I was struck by how much commonality there was between the different bureaus. And of course, the goal of the council and this administration for the last 4 years has been to how do we coordinate, how do we make sure that the different components of our first responder and our emergency management system are in alignment, both in terms of values and resources. And it's nice to see that it's coming together in a really productive way. I was struck by the same thing that Commissioner Hardesty was struck by, which was the notion that a healthy community uses less first response services to begin with. And I'm going to flip that over and acknowledge what everybody didn't say, but what I think they meant, which is this is in effect the last safety net. First responders show up when everything else has hit the proverbial fan, whether it's the wildfires, which could be the result of climate, or it can be the result of poor forestry management principles, whether it is a lack of healthcare support, whether it's a lack of family support, housing support, whatever. Ultimately, our first responders are the ones who pick up the pieces. And so all of them acknowledged a desire both for more collaboration upstream. And I think there's opportunities here for us to collectively work with our partners at the state, the county, and elsewhere to help really streamline and integrate these services upstream. The second thing I heard from those individuals is the need to serve the public in the way that the public wants to be served. And that then begs the question of how do you engage the public and how do you hear what it is that the public wants and expects from our first responders? And the work in part of what our joint public safety director is going to be responsible for is helping the city council to onboard and hear and go through that feedback, prioritize it, and make sure it gets integrated into our collective services. I heard a lot about response, and that gets into the question of how, and I think we can put that down. You know, that's really going to be the core of our budget discussions. This was really more values-based, which I appreciated because I think it's really important for us to hear the values of our directors, hear the alignment of those values, and then presumably and hopefully the council will be in sync with those same values. That will then lead to the vision process in each of those bureaus. And we already heard some strong sense of vision from each of our four bureau directors who testified. And that then from the vision leads to the actual strategies and tactics that we will use, which help us formulate some of the decisions we're going to make later around the budget and whatnot. Trust was important. And a couple of you mentioned trust. Chief Lavelle, you mentioned it multiple times and you said you're going to hear me talk a lot about trust. I'm really glad to hear that because I think this is really what it gets down to, particularly when it comes to law enforcement. And what we heard from the Black Lives Matter movement and the tens of thousands of Portlanders taking to the streets was the demand to build trust. And you had mentioned several things, recruiting, hiring, training practices, the directives that we use, the accountability mechanisms that are put into place. All of those things I think are critically important to trust. You all mentioned inequities and driving the inequities out of our first response system, that it should be responsive, that it should be fair, that it should be equitable. And I was really glad to hear the alignment around that value. I think that's an important value for the city council, and it's nice to have it underscored that our bureau directors and our bureaus are aligned around eliminating inequities in the delivery of our response services, and the partnership piece. And this is going to be the part where I think we're all going to have to be in clear alignment and work really well, not only internally through our bureaus, and this exercise today is part of breaking down those barriers, as is the creation of the joint public safety budgeting process that we've already engaged in, as is the hiring of the public safety director part of that process. But when we work with others outside of the city of Portland, that alignment around housing and family stability and economic prosperity and making sure that we have strong safety net services around mental health and substance abuse and whatnot, we have a role to play there. Even though we don't deliver those services directly, I think the value that is implied through what our bureau directors told us suggests that we have a strong role to play in moving those conversations upstream. So those were just some of my thoughts. I was just really delighted to hear how much in common our bureau directors have when they're espousing our values.
Great. Okay, I'm fighting the itch to move right to priority areas, because I know that there's a lot to talk about around policy priorities, but I want to give Commissioner Rubio, Commissioner Mapps, Commissioner Ryan, do you want to add to any of that that was initial reactions that you had? Go ahead, Commissioner Rubio.
So I too want to just appreciate the comments that everyone said, and I won't, just to echo what my colleagues just mentioned about hearing those common themes around recognizing and acknowledging the challenge of the pandemic landscape that we're in right now, and how everyone is stepping up right now to recalibrate and do what they can differently. But also I heard the recognition that we need to move to more community-centered approaches to get to those root causes, and also to be responsive to what the community has said loud and clear over the past year plus. Decades, actually. But what really stuck with me was, Mr. Myers, what you said about vibrant cities don't burn. And they don't use police, fire, and disaster services as much. That was a really strong image to me. And I wholeheartedly agree, and I feel like it's very similar to what community-based organizations and community advocates have been saying as well. So I see some really clear alignment along that value. Which speaks to what people are saying about these upstream investments that sort of get at those root causes. So some of the questions and thoughts that came to mind when you were making all of your remarks were, what are those upstream opportunities and gaps? And how are we currently partnering with the county, with Metro, with the region? And where are those opportunities that we can look at to deepen not only those collaborations with other entities, but also what are our own investments that we've already made that we need to like step up or look at and recalibrate to make sure that we've already made that investment? How can we expand it so that it actually multiplies the impact that we want in order to create that mutual vision of a thriving and vibrant community that you mentioned? So I'm particularly interested in hearing your thoughts about what existing community-based partnerships you hold, and how can where's the opportunity in that, in this time moving forward where we're refocusing and recentering on community. And then the last thing I would say is also you mentioned community engagement and working with the community. Super interested in hearing about what has worked for you, and also would love staff to. This is more a follow-up for staff, to think about ways and learn from what's already been done and are effective examples of authentic community engagement where the process is co-created with community. I think that's gonna be essential to the success of what we're doing together, and really, really could be a game changer here. So I just, again, thank you for the recognition and thank you for everything that you're doing in this time. And I really look forward to hearing more.
Commissioner Rubio, I could almost hear our excellent staff member, Ruth Levine, typing out some of the follow-up that you just laid out. So appreciate you being specific on potential follow-up that council can talk about towards the end. Commissioner Ryan, Commissioner Mapps, anything you want to add before we dive into policy questions?
Sure. Just real briefly, I'd like to thank our panel for their presentations today. Very educational. And I think, like everyone else who has spoken on council, I'm moved by your dedication and your vision. I think one of the things that was reaffirmed to me today is that healthy communities are resilient communities. So part of our challenge as a council is to figure out how we make Portland a healthier, more vibrant community. I think we all have thoughts and ideas about that. I think another theme that really came through for me is that community needs evolve over time. I think each of you, each of the bureaus that are represented here is in a slightly different business than we were 10 years ago, and frankly, probably a slightly different business than we were a year ago. One of the unique things about, I think, the work that we all do, and I kind of identify with 911 in this case, is that we're all highly trained, deeply dedicated, very professionalized, which means that sometimes changing the way we do business is difficult. Also, we don't have the resources to meet the enormous need. As you heard, our colleagues over at 911 take nearly 1 million calls a year. And that's a lot of need to sort out and connect. And like Commissioner Rubio, I think that in addition to helping each of the bureaus represented on this call evolve and do their work more effectively and serve the public more effectively, I think there's a whole set of bureaus who are not represented at this table, the bureaus that help keep our communities healthy and vibrant and resilient. And I hope that at some point in this process, we can both have a discussion amongst ourselves about how we go about making complete healthy neighborhoods and how we close the circle here. And with that, I'll turn off my mic.
Yes, good morning. Great to be here. And this is good government. It was just awesome to see all of you in the same Zoom room. I finally figured out how to move people up so I can see everybody in the same table, if you will. And you had some really similar values, like my colleague said. I think for me it was, and it didn't feel like you were just doing a performative script either. It seemed like you were speaking top of mind about inclusion and what that means. I really appreciated what Commissioner Rubio said about how much work that takes, and it's shared. I love saying the difference between the word engagement and inclusion. There's a big one. And so we're working more towards inclusion. And I come from the upstream world, so I understand the, and always have been lobbying for more funds upstream. And so I look forward to more dialogue about what that means in partnership. And I want to say that, you know, the public expects that downstream phone call to be the most well-received and best serviced one that they ever make, or they just might not be alive at the end of it. So there's a reason why there's a lot of spotlight on what you all oversee. So I just will say that I concur with many of the things I heard. There was just one zinger. Now, what do I call it? Assistant Chief Gillespie, Associate Chief. I might be screwing up your title.
Division Chief.
Division Chief. You, if I heard you right, you said that phone calls or calls from the houseless community has spiked from 4,400 to 12,000. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. Yes.
So that's 172% increase, if I remember how to do that with arithmetic. And it was quite alarming. And so I just had to sit with that because it was gripping. And I've been, I'm hanging out in the houselessness system building right now. And so I just had to take that in and be with that for a second. And it really speaks to why we're building a better system, because that's an alarming data point, if you will. So I just want to end with saying that I look forward to more dialogue. That's why we're here. So the last thing you need is for me to continue to repeat everything that my other colleagues said, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the conversation.
Commissioner Ryan, I bet if you asked Bob Causey could send you a weekly report on the 911 calls that come in directly related to houselessness, they have an excellent system. If you just ask them what you want, they will deliver it to you like clockwork. So great opportunity to make that connection. And Bob is smiling. He's already ready to give you whatever information you need.
Well, hello, Director Causey. Commissioner Hardesty made a request, and I accept it. And so I look forward to receiving those reports. Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Council.
Bob's not in my portfolio anymore. And so I was offering that I know he has that expertise. So I didn't tell Bob to do anything. So I don't want Bob to walk away. But I was sure that Bob would offer his assistance if you asked.
No, I mean, this is actually, just end with that. This is why this is such an awesome conversation, because I don't have the privilege of overseeing any of these bureaus, but obviously this is one of our top three priorities. So this is a kind of fluid dialogue that I love about this session. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty.
Okay, thank you, Council. So this is the section in which I'm gonna be measured by all our city colleagues if I can meet the standard that Dr. Smith set a couple weeks ago with her excellent facilitation. I will do my best. I'm going to build on what I just heard Commissioner Mapps, Commissioner Ryan, I think Commissioner Rubio also alluded to this. The business models are significantly challenged or have changed, and our service models are changing. You heard from Division Chief Gillespie, Chief Lavelle, Director Kazi in particular, those three. The demand on them and where that demand is coming from in the community has significantly changed. So I want to start with, What questions should we be asking for further research and analysis for you as our council that will help you as you make decisions in the future, not just on budget, but on strategy for all of these interconnected services? I'm thinking particularly of the questions I outlined at the beginning, the connections between healthcare and fire and rescue. I'm thinking of what Commissioner Mapps explained to me yesterday, some of his questions around the future of 911. And obviously with what many of us have been talking about on police services. So this is a call for what you were jotting down and thinking about around questions that you have as our principal policymakers. Want to open up the discussion on what kind of policy work should we be doing to bring back to you as the system evolves?
Yeah, Tom, I'll go ahead and jump in. That's a great question. I appreciate it. I feel like we're probably going to go around a couple of times on this one because it gets to the meat of the issue. And so my bigger question right at the moment is, are our first responders collectively doing what they should be doing? Or are they simply, as I said earlier, are they the receptacle of all of our other system failures? Are we having our police officers, are we having our firefighters, are we having people do work that they should actually not be doing? And if the answer to that question is yes, then what should we be doing instead? And we've obviously begun to answer that question in the negative. And we've created strategies like the PS3s or the Portland Street Response or some of the other discussions. But the first question is, are they doing things they shouldn't be doing? And then the second question is, given how rapidly the first response environment has shifted just in the last couple of years, and Commissioner Ryan gave us, you know, he highlighted one really important issue just with the massive increase in the demands around homelessness, that has changed the nature of our first response. The question is, have the systems that we've put into place, have they evolved? Have they adapted to the changing environment in a way that serves the needs of the community as they exist today and into the future? Those would be the two questions I would ask.
So if I may jump in next, I think part of the answer to part of the mayor's question is to pro-QA system that's being put in place. But I'm also very interested in where we are with the 311 system, right? That was supposed to take the pressure off of 911, right? And how do we promote that? Where's the advertisement campaign? How do we let people know that there's a number to call when it's not really an emergency, but they in their situation, they need information now? So I think we have to answer that question because if we can divert calls from ever coming to 911, that's gonna be better for the system overall.
Yeah, Commissioner, we'll put that answer in the chat. There is work going on that right, right now, and we can exchange all that in the chat with staff. Let's
Tom, if you don't mind, that's actually a really important issue. Could you give us a couple of sentences on that? Where are we?
Sure. Yeah, and this was just in the interest not to slow us down, but I'm happy to get into that. Yes. So what we're doing there is Director Kazi and Michelle Kunick North, who runs the 311 program for us, are working on how do we effectively transfer the I think the number was almost 40% of the calls, correct, that go in there that are non-emergency. There are some simple changes and there are some more long-term changes, but we are all in agreement that that should happen. Secondly, to Commissioner Hardesty's point, there are a few remaining dollars in the CARES Local Relief Fund resources we got from the federal government. Your delegation to me gave me authority to figure out highest and best use of the remaining dollars. We are putting together an outreach campaign on 211, 311, 911 that is definitely related to the pandemic in terms of all the calls we're getting. We think that'll help in terms of the movement of these thousands of calls to a better place for people to get service. I'll ask Ruth and the team to put more in the chat, but that's the overview of it.
Tom, if you could ask them to just email information, because as you know, once the chat goes away, we don't have access.
Thank you. Thanks for that reminder. Will do.
That will be helpful. The other thing that I think I feel like I have an advantage because I had all the other first responder bureaus, right, for 2 years. So what I know is that the first responder bureaus are accustomed to working together. And even without commissioners, when they show up on site, they are very accustomed to figuring out who should lead and who should follow, right? And so we have a lot of good practices in place. But what I think is what you said earlier, which is it's we have people responding to things they should not be responding to. And so I'll give you a great example with fire, right? When TriMet calls to have fire wake somebody up who's sitting on the back of a bus, that is a waste of public resources, right? When OHSU calls fire and says, we got somebody that needs to go up the hill to the hospital, that's a waste of public resources. So as I start thinking about the systems, I think about the local public safety coordinating council that the mayor and I serve on. And there's what is known as the Community Reinvestment Act, which today reinvests dollars back into the criminal justice system. But what if those dollars were actually reinvested in community solutions versus going back into a system that has been known to have racially disparate outcomes? Right. So as you think about how do we fund the upstream services, we should be funding them based on us using best practices around how we use our limited first responder system. Right. And then diverting monies to community solutions as much as possible. And so I'd like to see more about how we can look at, because I just like with Dr. J, right, we talk about this as a system. Because it is a system, right? The police don't operate right. In isolation. Right. Fire doesn't operate in isolation. It is a system. And any change in one part of the system has an impact in other parts of the system.
Okay, right? Yeah. So Commissioner, just so I can summarize and make sure I'm understanding both you and the mayor, it sounds like a role clarity, what we want first responders to do, highest and best use, and what we want to figure out and maybe present you and the entire council some options on how we could develop new partnerships or actually new contractual agreements, if possible, to move some of the services that aren't the highest and best use or the core responsibilities of the first responders, but connected to the upstream historic inequities, racial disparities. Is that, am I capturing that?
Right on the mic.
Okay. All right. Other council members here, what are you thinking?
And could I just clarify something. There's one more nuance to that, and that is, are we structured for the actual needs in the community? Because let's be honest, first response agencies are not always the most innovative. They're not always the most responsive to changing dynamics in the community. So my question is, are the police actually organized in order to be able to respond to the needs today while we're figuring out what the longer term system is? And the Fire Bureau, you started the presentation off by saying they're organized historically around putting out fires, but what they really are is a health provider. Are they organized for that? So that's the nuance I just want to add to that.
Thank you. Yeah. The staff's going to have a lot of work keeping up for the last slide here in the last few minutes, but we're up for it. I know the team's up for it. Commissioner Rubio, MAPS, Ryan, please jump in on that, on what they talked about or other policy questions in your head.
I think Commissioner MAPS was right before me. So go ahead, Commissioner MAPS.
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. First of all, Tom, great job. I want to thank everyone who's presented and the staff who are in the background keeping this train on track. I'm going to try to be disciplined here and ask questions sort of Jeopardy style instead of offering some of my solutions. I also want to recognize that there are there's an enormous amount of public safety talent on this Zoom call. I was trying to do the math in my head. We probably have 250 years of expertise in public safety here. So what I'm hoping to do is to really empower you to help me. And I tell you, I got about six public safety questions I really need some help with. And I don't want the answers today. Instead, what I'd like is to have staff go away and think about the questions I'm about to pose, and then come back at a work session in the near future and give me a basket of solutions that help me make some choices around the following six difficult problems. The first problem that I really need some help with is, how do I reduce gun violence? This is the number one thing I get calls on right now, or one of the number one things that I get calls on right now. I believe we're in the 34th day of the year. I think we've had about 9 homicides in the last 6 weeks. That's unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable to my constituents. Something needs to change. The second thing that I really care about, for those of you who don't know, amongst my other responsibilities, I happen to be the commissioner in charge of 911. I very much respect and appreciate the work that these folks do. As we heard, they do, they take about 900,000 calls a year. I think a significant portion of those calls should be picked up by 311 as opposed to 911. So what I'd like is some advice on how we can divert a significant portion of the non-emergency calls to 311 as opposed to the non-emergency number or 911. A third problem that I hear about a lot and I want to make progress on is, how do we shorten police response times? Fourth problem that I'd like some advice on and some options on is, how do we enhance police accountability? The fifth problem I need some solutions on would be, how do we reduce overrepresentation of members of the BIPOC community amongst our arrests? And the sixth question I need some help on and some options on is, understanding our model for staffing the police department. And does that model need to be adjusted? As I understand it, we have a formula that determines how many cops we're supposed to have at every hour of the day. I'd like to some understanding of where that formula comes from, where we are in relationship to that formula. And I'd like some insight into whether or not that formula needs to be adjusted given the needs of the community. And if I can get some feedback on that, that would be really helpful. And it would help me, I think, make some progress on some issues that I think Portlanders care about a lot.
Thanks, Commissioner. Really appreciate your thoughtful preparation. And let's do this. Yes, there are centuries of public safety and community safety experience represented in the meeting, but you know, our principal goal here is to work with council on what we prioritize next. So you and Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Hardesty have all laid out some ideas. Let's hear from Commissioner Rubio and Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you, Tom. And I also want to thank Commissioner Maps for bringing up and acknowledging and recognizing the lives that have been lost. And I also want to point out to a number of those are our young people, which is directly connected to what my thought here is. Going back to those upstream investments and specifically around, our investments in that work. I'm very interested, and this is a question again for staff, to how, you know, we've made deep investments in the Office of violence prevention? How can we deepen and leverage that investment and capacitate that office to really have the outcomes that the community needs and also that the office and partnerships that that office holds to bring to bear? I'm very interested in understanding how we can better align the work like that office and other work that's going on in the community with the deep investments that the county has made on the public health side and the youth development side as well. There's a lot of energy and good work happening in the community, and we need to figure out how we knit together those systems of care so that the community is experiencing a path to thriving, to move from, you know, surviving to thriving with the support they need from our government, but also the regional government. And I just want to also mention, you know, the work, I think Commissioner Hardesty brought in Dr. J, and he was speaking exactly to this thing. So I feel like we are all speaking the desire and the need for this kind of collaboration. So I'm really interested in seeing how do we operationalize that intent into something that actually moves us forward now. We're in a time that has, you know, we have no time to lose. This is our window and our calling to do this right now. And I feel like there's energy and alignment for it. So I'm very interested to see what's that next step then to pulling that that collaborative spirit together with other jurisdictions and with community leaders and community members and impacted community to move it forward. The other thing I just want to mention too is going back to the conversation about 911 response and calls that come in, and of those calls, I would love to understand in that data, what is our multilingual capacity to be responsive to those calls? What does it look like now? How do our agencies manage that those calls when they come in? I would love to understand what our current system is, and then how can we close the gap? I know that it remains, you know, a concern and an issue just generally in communities, particularly immigrant communities, when, you know, out of fear or out of just, you know, lack of knowledge or understanding that there are a lot of language barriers to accessing those kinds of supports. I would just love to know where we stand currently, and then how can we maybe close the gap there? And that then I think that goes back to who our staff are. How many staff do we have that we hire that are bilingual and multilingual? And what is the plan for scaling that up as our demographics change over time? Those are my questions.
Thanks. Thanks, Commissioner.
You want me to jump in, Tom?
Please, yeah, I saw you unmuting.
Yeah, sure, thanks. Boy, I really enjoy hearing what my colleagues are saying. Pardon me for oversimplifying this right now. And so when I think of this system, I think of a three-legged stool. And with police, we have a dispatch unit, we have police, first responders, and then if needed, there's somewhere to take them, corrections. With fire, we have dispatch, we have people that show up, first responders, and if need be, there's a healthcare system, a burn unit, a manual, for example, to take the person to. With, I think where the big spike is, right, in the mental health episode, people that need the trauma-informed responder, knowing that a lot of your first responders do their very best with that. And Commissioner Hardesty has been focused on Portland street response to that end. My question is, what is the inventory of all the services out there from on where we take them? Where do we know that we have the dispatch unit that we're building. We're looking to build, in the city of Portland, a first responder system through Portland Street Response. Then when you look at where we take them is something that can make everyone's head hurt. And that's why we're having this conversation, why we're bringing up the question. I also know enough, like everyone does, that the county, receives most of those dollars and has provided some systems around where we would take somebody in that situation. And so my question is, I don't want us to, I'm well aware we're not building everything internally in the city of Portland, that we're a part of a system that includes what the voters also fund and support. And of course, most voters don't really know if it's the city or the county, and quite frankly, they don't need to care. They just want us to get it right. And so I want to hear about how we're being nimble and innovative to work with the county and the state on where those mental health systems are and where someone can actually get treatment. And that's my big picture question.
Thanks, Commissioner Ryan. It sounds like there's a lot of interest and more so than I predicted in really figuring out the upstream map, how we relate to the upstream map, what our role is with various partners and providers. That's one strain coming through. Can I get some head nods or some head shakes? Or seems like that is an interest here around. And we will also do follow up on Commissioner Rubio and Commissioner Ryan kind of questions, just basically how our system works on some of that and how it doesn't. So that will not be in the final slide in terms of policy priorities, but we will make sure to send that to the full council as well, in addition to Commissioner Hardesty's questions about 311. But I think, you know, one pattern that we can clearly identify here is the city as a major municipality can and should do a much better job in how our services and investments relate and are partnered and leveraged with other both public and private sector players. I'm interested in any other response to Commissioner Mapps's questions that he laid out. Did anyone want to respond to those that has not had a chance to respond since he laid out, I think, 6 or 7 questions? Sorry, Commissioner Mapps. 6 questions. Okay.
So, Tom, I guess for me, this is what we're talking about today is long-term strategy and transformation. I think the piece that we didn't talk about today is this sort of immediate crises that we're in. And based on the limited resources that we have, how do we build a system that can respond today, right, as we are trying to figure out what the future of our system looks like? We don't have the luxury of doing either or, right? We have to do both and. And so I think for me, the question is, what are the best uses of our limited first responder resources today? And how do we start actually grounding ourselves in what we have today as we start talking about what it looks like in the future? Because I think we continue to go in circles around that. And we have to be realistic that we have what we have. And we have a limited ability to pour more resources into what we have today. So what do we do today with today's resources that actually puts us on the path towards continuing this transformation in our system?
Okay, I hear the heart of what you're raising, Commissioner. I want to be careful that we don't want to delve into budget.
I'm talking about just like the short term. What are the short term priorities for our first?
I hear you.
The limited resources that we have today, right? Because I think if we start with we need resources to do X, then we have a totally different conversation than we do if we say, today we know these are the resources we have. And based on that, and based on what community concerns are, how do we prioritize the resources we have today to get the best outcomes? Because, no, I'm not talking about next year's budget or the budget after that, but what I do know is that there's an expectation that today we have a plan based on today's resources, right? And then if that plan is working, then if there are additional resources and we start talking budget, then we're doing it from a position of what we know already works, as is working or starting to work, as compared to we can't do anything now, right? Because we need, right? To me, that's a losing argument. Right. And so I'm really interested, how are we efficient with the resources we have right now?
Okay. Yeah, and you're giving us the perfect segue into the process questions that the team helped me to lay out here. And I want to touch on something that's coming up in my mind that was mentioned earlier as you speak, Commissioner Hardesty. I think it was Commissioner Mapps, and I think Commissioner Hardesty, you also raised it. You know, we struggle in our system with three of you currently have formal authority over bureaus that are a traditional part of the system, but everybody is a citywide elected official in our structure. Everyone has a strong interest in the success of the transformation and evolution that we're talking about. So we really want to take the next few minutes, as I outlined the agenda, to really dive into kind of process improvement and how you as elected official colleagues want to proceed together on some of these questions. What we don't want to do is leave here and then have another work session in 3 months in which some of the questions, and I'm just thinking of what Commissioner Rubio laid out a few minutes ago, that you don't know who's doing what or how we're communicating about these going forward. So let's talk about that. I think Commissioner Hardesty, you've also raised a very provocative question about, you know, with current constraints, what do we want to ensure that particularly first responders and police and fire are doing, and what we want to think about in a more rapid fashion that we move somewhere else, I think was the heart of your question. So let's talk about this. We tried to lay out a number of questions there. And as I said at the beginning, there is a lot of work going on both in council offices and in other areas. And we tried to lay out some prompts here, but you know, you five are more expert than anyone else in this meeting around engaging with the community, what constituents and residents are telling you. We think we can work more collaboratively in a more coordinated fashion, but we want to ask, you know, what should we be doing differently together and in considering and implementing new models? What kind of process should we use with you? The word trust has been mentioned several times in several different contexts. How do we take input from the community in various ways and make sure it's transparent, it's broadly shared? And lastly, this has come up a lot of times, right? How can we be more of an effective partner with the county and state, and I would add the federal government as well? So does anybody want to jump in there around, you know, what you need and would propose as a group of colleagues all working on this with shared interests? How is the process in your mind, how could it be improved instead of popping these on your calendar every few months?
Well, you know, I'll jump in just to start the conversation. I mean, first of all, on item number one, well, actually maybe all three of these. Number one, and I think we've already agreed that we want to prioritize interbureau collaboration. That's part of what this exercise today is. And I really appreciate this. I think this is a great conversation. It's thoughtful, and I hope we do this more often. Number two, we need to continue our efforts and expand our efforts around collaborating with community-based organizations. A lot of the building trust that our bureau directors describe can be done effectively working with trusted partners in the community who in turn have relationships with members of our community that maybe first responders don't have, or that the public is somewhat reticent to developing a relationship with in the near term. So there's an opportunity there to work with those community organizations and then be transparent with the public, both in terms of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what the results are of what we're doing. More data, more information to the public that's disseminated in a manner that people can understand easily and through community organizations that are trusted, I think would go a long way towards the focus that it's been described today around building trust. And Tom, I'll put in a plug for you since you're a modest guy, the conversations that we had as a council previously about how do we onboard some of the conversations around reform and demands for change in the community? How do we integrate that into the work that we're doing here at City Hall? And I feel good about the direction of that process as well.
Okay. Thanks, Mayor. Other thoughts?
I agree with what the mayor said, and I think one of our issues is there are a lot of activities taking place internal to City Hall that I don't think we've been effective at actually just sharing with the general public. And so in my mind, we need a communication strategy that goes two ways, that allows us to actually tell the public about the work we're involved in. And clearly we haven't finished any of the work we're involved in yet, but I think people don't even know that we're actually planning to do things that are really gonna have a significant impact, right? I think about the mayor and I co-hosting the Black Male Town Hall. I think about the Truth and Reconciliation process. I think about gathering all the great thinking that community has developed around transforming community safety, right? I think that we are not effective at actually letting the public know that this is where we are at the moment, but these are the putting in place.
Commissioner, can I ask you about that for a sec? Because that's really, I think that a lot of people who are listening who work within or with city government, I'm guessing that's resonating with them. Can I ask you about why you think that is? Do you think people are just hesitant between council offices and bureau staffs and other places to say, we need to work together on this? What do you think's behind that?
Well, I think everybody's trying to be very respectful that we have a police commissioner. So we're trying not to get out ahead of the police commissioner. But what I'm hearing from people is like, they just want to know that we're doing something. And I know that a lot of meetings that I'm in are part of the conversation. It's like the Wednesday morning meetings that the mayor and I have been attending around gun violence, right? So I think if we just like put a list together, right, these are the 10 things we're working on right now, and this is where we're headed, I think it would actually lower the community's temperature. Just like the $3 million that have gone to Reimagine Oregon, right? Letting people know how to plug into that process would help engage people in ways that they could be helpful in this transformation that we're a part of. I just think that we haven't collectively decided how to share information. I think all of us may do bits and pieces based on the constituents that engage us. But as a council, we don't have a council. This is what all of us are working on towards reducing gun violence and transforming our first responder system.
Yep.
For me, I think that's a big missing piece.
Thank you. I see some head nods. Other council members want to jump in on that or with another point?
And if I could just go to number two, I just want to say with number two, trust comes from consistency in your actions, right? You can't go out and say, I'm going to build trust with you today, so trust me today, right? I'm going to trust you based on your actions and based on what I see the outcomes are. I'm not going to trust you because you asked me to trust you, right? In fact, that's going to make me more suspect of you. So I think we have to be open to receiving productive criticism about how the system has failed us and take that information into account as we're trying to rebuild the next system. Okay. And for the last one on number three, let me just say that I think that we are in the beginning stages of really trying to unpack all these tables that have state, county, and other community partners at it, and really trying to figure out kind of what their roles are. And I brought up lip sync before. I think lip sync should be a vehicle for transforming this system when we talk about the criminal justice system. But I haven't been engaged with lip sync long enough to know if that is actually the vehicle or if that is the barrier to doing transformation.
Thanks, Commissioner. Staff, I have ideas on that we can present to you. I saw Commissioner Ryan trying to get in.
Sure. I got lip sync. Did I hear lips? I don't know what.
I'm sorry, Local Public Safety Coordinating Council. I hate acronyms and I give people a hard time, so my apologies.
Oh, no, it's fine. I just couldn't get over what I know the word lip sync to mean, so I appreciate that. I wanted to tag on when you were talking about crisis communication, Commissioner Hardesty, and I know we've had some communication amongst ourselves and bits and pieces on this, and we're really at a place where we really need that. We need a generalist crisis communication person, it feels like, but just someone to take our streamlined thinking, and it would get us away from this, five commissioners having five different messages at a time when the city more than ever needs us to be aligned on these key priorities. So Tom, you've been an advocate for this, rightly so in your role, and I just wanted to make sure on the public forum right now that I amplified that since it just came up. And that's what I wanted to tag on to why I was active in the conversation.
Thanks, Commissioner. Commissioner Mapps, with the slides up, I'm having a harder time tracking. Oh, Commissioner Rubio, did you
want to go ahead? Thank you. I just want to make one comment. I'm agreeing and appreciating the conversation. And I also really appreciate the recognition of the wisdom that lives in community now, that they're just waiting for that vehicle and that avenue to be able to plug in and also to co-create whatever is going to happen moving forward. I also just want to just a quick just reminder that when we do work with community-based organizations, to please recognize that we need to work with a diversity of organizations, because we have diversities within our own communities, our own, you know, BIPOC communities as well, that have different reach and different trust with different segments. We're diverse just like any other community is diverse. So I just felt like I'm compelled to put that on the table and recognize that, so that it's not just we're picking one organization, we're really talking to multiple to move this conversation forward.
Thanks, Commissioner. I've been I've been moved by the response of community groups that we've reached out to just to talk about the community safety work, that have just said things like, you know, thank you for coming to talk to us about it. And there are great ideas in all of them. So I want to echo what you're saying. We need to figure out how we're all doing more of that and sharing what we learn with the city council and the bureaus. Commissioner Mapps, did you have something to add here on process, roles, community engagement? Okay. Anybody else from council on these three? Do you want to respond? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Just a big picture. I know I just kind of weighed in on that one point. I really concur with what Commissioner Rubio was saying. I always find that government works best when we partner with community groups, very broad word, to let them lead the engagement process. We don't need to build that system. We have tons of staff within the city as much as we need to outsource, show up and listen, and then really stretch our imaginations to what community engagement looks like in terms of the groups that we partner with. And then on the third one, I can't stress enough, especially on the mental health outbreaks in the system that we don't have, and how we probably might need a specific session with county leaders on the mental health system that we're building connected to Portland Street Response. So I want to make sure we're not building this. I know we're not, but we can't build this in isolation, since so much of the talent and treasure that's out there in the community is not within the city of Portland payroll, but it's out there in the community and in the with the professionals of the county.
Thanks, Commissioner. It's been mentioned a few times in this work session, but I just want to reinforce that, you know, we are building this response for all of you and the policy work follow-up for the Community Safety Transition Director, and we fully anticipate that we are going to have to work again with all of you on how we interface with the county, the state, and other partners through that leader. I think it's going to get a lot better and a lot more coordinated and organized, but we're just at the beginning of that. If there's nothing to add to this, I'm going to capitalize on that we'll have a little extra time to actually do the recap and solidification of what we've heard from you on, and make sure our next steps and the work ahead is aligned and that we're focused and we're doing the work that you want us to do. Okay, unless I see an objection to that, I'm going to move on. And I'm catching up on my own slides here now. Okay, do we have a next slide up? I should have thanked Julian Massenberg, who's doing the slides. This is not easy. Thanks, Julian. Okay, so Ruth and I are gonna help recap. And again, I wanna go back to what we stated at the beginning. You know, our intent is to try to synthesize as much as we can here today. And one of the things that we've learned in flight is that particularly the new commissioners understandably have some questions that we'll just do follow-up on, and we'll send it to the whole council that, you know, isn't doesn't exactly fall into policy and research and analysis follow-up, but we want you to know we will definitely get you the answers to those questions. Ruth's going to put up a slide that we've been attempting to populate and put things in, and we want to go back and forth with you on the slide and the follow-up so that we are ready to go. So I think that's being worked on right now. Yeah, great. Okay, so with the caveat that we can articulate these things or we can put them in columns in many different ways, and we will work very hard in the next couple of days to finalize a memo and follow up with all of you and take feedback from your staffs as well. This is what the team has put in that are both common themes and key questions for research and analysis. Now, I'm going to ask Ruth to unmute and to kind of give us an overview. But first, let's give the council a minute or two just to look at it. We don't often pause to give you time to actually look at something.
So Tom, I don't see that it's been captured. What are the priorities based on the resources you currently have? Maybe it's somewhere else, but I didn't see that.
Good, okay. I'm sure the team right now is figuring out where to either add that or make that an overarching piece. That one seems to cross the first three columns, correct, Commissioner?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So we may need another column on kind of, you know, system questions or system resource questions. And to be clear, you're raising the question on there's short-term pressures that go towards the long-term vision, right?
Right. And based on the short-term pressures, what's the priority?
Okay.
Or maybe it's what won't you do because of the short-term because of the current crisis.
For Ruth and Julian, could I suggest that maybe we add that at the bottom of policing, fire and rescue, and triaging 911 calls as one that crosses all three?
Yeah, sure. I mean, okay. I heard Commissioner Hardesty and others, if you, I heard in at least Commissioner Rubio's statements also somewhat of a desire to do that with respect to our upstream investments as well. So it would really cross all four columns. Does that sound good to folks?
I could argue it would cross all five.
Yeah, I think it's a good sort of framing of how are we mapping our medium and long-term strategies and goals onto short-term needs and constraints. So I will think more about how to capture that visually.
Since we have a little extra time, do any of the chiefs or directors want to chime in on that? I'm sure that something's resonating with you there around. It's a big and important question. Does anyone want to add anything? I see Chief LaBelle reaching for his mute.
Yeah, I just think it's a really important issue as we try to manage, you know, the changing landscape for all of our bureaus. There's different challenges and constraints right now, but there are a lot of questions in the future, like what will demand be? Will we still do the same work? Will we reimagine to something that looks, you know, different that would drive the way we structure a partner? I think it's just a really, really important topic that it's pertinent now, but it's pertinent in the future as well.
Thanks, Chief.
Tom, I have a comment too. I think this is very good. It's timely, but if we went back in time 2 or 3 years, a lot of work has been done already to put us in the position we are today. If we remember 3 or 4 years ago, the lead articles in the paper would have been call times waiting in 911. If you remember all that, Rob Wheaton was the union president at the time, and it was a mess. So we hired Bob Causey. We bought ProQA, which has not only a priority medical dispatch, but also has a policing part of it. And he's started to implement that. I remember when Tom, you and I talked 3 years ago about 311, what the potential could be. And you started that program, and now it's where it is today. We are moving on these things. 211 is very much enhanced. during this pandemic, some of the hospital systems have even moved to telemedicine, where today, if you're sick, you can use telemedicine, not even call an ambulance where you used to call an ambulance before. So other things are emerging. I think this is extremely timely. I think we need to capture those things that have momentum already, put our foot down on the pedal and drive these things home to success. And I think we're going to start to see the fruits of the things that we put into place. It's very expensive to pick up an individual that doesn't need to go to a hospital and run them through a system, whether it's AMR, the fire department, and through an emergency room when they don't even need to be there. I mean, if you look at healthcare costs, the ERs will tell you the same thing. The hospitals want a solution to some of this too. And so we have other players, but I think there's a lot of room for improvement. This is a perfect start. And what I see here is the beginnings of a strategic plan for the community safety group.
Great, thanks, Mike. Let's go back to council. Commissioner Rubio, Maps, or Ryan, or Mayor Wheeler, any reaction to the draft slide we have here on follow-up work?
Actually, I do, if I may. Angus Maps here. A couple of the issues that are really important to me didn't make the list, and I just want to highlight them. How do we shorten police response times? I don't see on the slide, but I'd like to see it on the slide. Second, how do we enhance police accountability? I don't see that on the slide now, but I'd like to see it on the slide.
Okay. Let's put up whatever you think is missing and let's hear from your colleagues. Let's do that. So please keep going.
And third is, how do we reduce the overrepresentation of members of the BIPOC community in our arrests? And that's it. Otherwise, looks like great work.
Tom, I also want to throw something in that I actually haven't talked to anybody about yet. But as we're thinking about this system, fire needs a new training facility. And what would it look like to have a first responder training facility that actually served the needs of all our first responders rather than just one or two? So as we're looking at systems change, I want us to have a conversation about how do we expand our opportunity to have a joint training facility that will serve the needs of all our first responders.
Commissioner Hardesty, you've just made many people's day who have been working on long range facilities issues. So you made some people very happy. We will definitely add that if your colleagues want us to be thinking about that as well.
Well, let me just say for me, my training facility for fire is going to fall down on people. So it's not a matter of if we do it, it's a matter of when we do it. So,
Tom, if I can just add on to Commissioner Hardesty's statement, that goes for our logistics facility as well and fire prevention, where I think there's some great opportunity to work with other bureaus, the community safety bureaus specifically, looking at that training and logistical support.
Thanks, Chief. Okay, Commissioner Rubio.
I want to make sure you
respond. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just one more thing to add to that no one has said yet, but I didn't want to lose the opportunity to say it. Once we, have taken the time to move through and reimagine and rebuild what our new community safety system, how do we then equip ourselves to invest in next generation and recruitment and development of interest at a year early young age? So it's very, very, very upstream, but we need to start doing that now to build the workforce that we want that's going to really be carrying out the work that we're all talking about right now.
So Commissioner, would you put that in the upstream investments, or would you put that as one of these cross-system? How would you articulate it?
I don't know. I think it's probably something that we have to keep in mind as we're building it, because we're probably going to have to build it concurrently so that we're ready to go.
Yep. Great.
Tom,
Mayor? Yeah, go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, let me jump in on this. I actually don't like the construct that we've put together here.
I was wondering about the columns. We're open to whatever, how to reshape the construct.
I don't like because the conversation up to this point has been, how do we create an across bureau, what's the vision across the bureaus? What are the values that we support? What's the vision? Understanding that all of these pieces are interrelated, that they need to work together. And then what are the appropriate questions that we are asking? And Commissioner Hardesty mentioned the dilapidated nature of our current fire training facilities. That gets to the broader question of training. So again, it's recruitment, it's training, it's the question around directives and accountability and making sure that we have the tools, the resources, that we're working upstream with our partners to lessen the demand on all of these services. I feel like we need to start with questions that are being asked across the board, and then the council needs to hold all of you accountable in terms of collaboration. And that's part of the reason we've gone through considerable care to make sure we have a public safety director who can help coordinate the values, the strategies, and then the tactics and investments required to create a system that's workable. I feel like this moves us in the wrong direction. I feel like starting to do vertical columns gets us back to what does the police bureau need versus what does the fire bureau need versus what does 911. You mentioned Pro QA in the BOAC call center. That's around delivering services efficiently and effectively, getting people the right services in a cost-effective manner quickly. All of us should have a concern about that, not just BOAC and not just fire. And as you said, the package could be quickly adapted to policing issues as well. So I hope at this level of the conversation, we're going to stick in the horizontal as opposed to the vertical. There'll be plenty of vertical when we get to the budget debates. And so I'd really like to stay in the horizontal for as long as we possibly can and drive a unified vision and strategies around that unified vision.
Great point, Mayor. And I want to hear from the rest of the council on that. I think our attempt here, and if you look at the first three columns, there are pieces that go all across all of these. So I think I want to hear from the rest of the council, but I think there are ways to bring it up a level, and this could be maybe level two in terms of follow-up work. What does the rest of the council think about the mayor's comment?
So, I actually think that we need this in order to get to the system, right? The system is made up of all these parts. So I do think if your staff goes back and actually starts answering some of the questions that were raised today, when we come back together or whatever document you give us, actually starts weaving that system back together, right? The system is only as good as its individual parts. So we have to understand how the individual parts work to understand how you strengthen a system of first responders. So I hear what the mayor is saying, and I actually thought about that when I saw the columns myself. But we have to understand we have a new council, and a lot of people don't have the long history of understanding how these particular bureaus operate. So I think this is an appropriate way for us to all get with the same information, and based on that information, start reinforcing this system reform that we're talking about. So I don't disagree that it makes it look like we're going backwards, but I don't think we are, because we've had 2 years of working as part of this this public safety work group. So I know that the bureaus themselves are committed to this collaborative process.
Yeah, and staff's reminding me, and I should have pointed out, there is a difference between real-time notes and the construct we'll give you in the follow-up work and the memo that you'll get. But it's a very, it's a distinction that we should always make around, how we've operated in the past and how we are working to operate in the present and the future. Commissioner Ryan, Maps, or Rubio, anything to add to that, or are there thoughts on this?
Yeah, I want to weigh in here. I've had conversations with some of you about my questioning of the new hire, not because I don't think it's a good idea and the vision's right, but I was concerned if that new leader would be equipped to be successful. When I then ask questions about how we're moving towards a systemic change of looking at this as a system, then I started to get there. But my big pushback was that unless we have a culture that changes from the ground up, a person like that will not be successful in their position. And so I do think the more that we rapidly move towards how there's common themes with all of four bureaus on what we're focusing on, the better, so that we can start to see more collaboration from those on the ground, those on the line staffs that are working across bureau, which they probably already are, but just to formalize that more. So I like pushing as much as possible towards this not being in vertical columns. However, I do think that there was great dialogue about what's immediate, what's midterm, what's long-term. And to me, it's a continued dialogue about what success looks like in the next year or two, what success looks like in 3 to 5 years, what it looks like at year 7. And so I do think we have to look at those metrics. And that's where you start to get more granular within the bureaus. Final comment is on 311. I just want to hear about a best practice somewhere in the country where the adult behavior in a population level has figured out how to not dial 911 and dial 311. So it's a lot, it's a big lift for people to know how to do that. And I just am curious as to where we see some of those best practices and what they did. I can't imagine this being easy for any city across the country to make that leap. So I look forward to hearing if there are any great examples of that. Thanks.
Great. We'll follow up.
Mengus Maps here. A moment ago, we were discussing whether or not this table is the right format. And I want staff, and I think my colleagues know that I'm relatively indifferent to what this slide looks like. The feedback that I get from my constituents is they want results. They want fewer homicides. They want faster police response times. And I hope that as we develop a process moving forward, we kind of keep focused on how government is experienced. I think people just want solutions and they want it to work better. And that is what I'm, you know, that's my bottom line, and that's where I need to be to remain strong. I am flexible on the rest of the stuff. Okay.
Ruth, you've been tracking this conversation closely and doing terrific staff work on the prep for this. Anything to add around the connections being made here that we are missing?
No, I mean, I think I was saying we can think more about how to show this to you in a way that highlights some of the horizontal connections across the bureaus in follow-up. I just wanted to get it all down in a format that was easy to digest quickly. But I really appreciate this. I think to Commissioner Mapp's last point and Commissioner Hardesty's point about you know, long-term and medium-term versus near-term, what we hope to do in follow-up immediately after this is articulate some of those things that we can move forward on, many of which you talked about today, and what are the things where we need more clarity on how to move forward, and then we can present you options on how to do that. So I want to be clear that we will be very focused on the action steps, as well as trying to articulate some of those bigger picture issues that cross all of the bureaus. So.
Any other comments or ideas from council? Any comments or questions or feedback from directors and chiefs?
Tom, I just want to say you've done an incredible job today. I thought that Dr. Smith actually exceeded all my expectations of trying to facilitate all of us, and you also have exceeded all my expectations. I appreciate
the commission
you did, as well as you helping us actually have this broader conversation. So thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. So I want to do a couple minutes on evaluation, and I want critique and any of those, you know, marvelous compliments. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. I should caveat that my staff was very hard on me to not editorialize during this session. I've tried very hard not to, so hope I lived up to that standard. But before we go to a quick evaluation, I want to make sure that council knows that in the follow-up memo and the next steps, we will work very hard on short-term, mid-term, you know, work that will be laid out for the Community Safety Transition Director, but also from what I particularly heard from Commissioner Mapps and Rubio, you know, we know that we need some significant next steps right away, and we will do our best to put those out there. I want to see head nods or head shakes or comments, though, if it's too far afield to actually lay out in the memo some teams for follow-up research that might include some of your staff. When we do our best work at the city, we put together professional staff from the bureaus, policy staff. So unless you tell me not to do that, our team is going to put together some work teams on this. And I'm guessing that, okay, you looks like people are for it. I know that there are a lot of capacity issues out there. I know some people are rightly struggling, and everyone's having their own struggles in the pandemic. So please be clear with us on capacity, and that's okay if there isn't the capacity to do that. Let's just go around the virtual council table here around how this worked for you today. Again, we want to do this every quarter on community safety, and the next one will be led by a community safety transition director. But I want to hear, and I know the team wants to hear, what worked well for you, what could we have done differently, and this new council so far has proven to be collegial and open to doing this work together, so let's build on that. What feedback do you have for us?
I'll go ahead and jump in. First of all, I want to thank the Bureau directors for their presentations. They came well prepared. So in terms of a work session, it's great when the folks presenting do take the time and the care to be thoughtful in their presentations. And it really showed that all of you took the time to do that. Tom, I agree. You did a fantastic job of facilitating this. I really appreciate it. I know facilitating the five of us can be quite the task. And you did a fantastic job. Last but not least, I want to thank my colleagues. This was a thoughtful and frank conversation that a lot of city councils would not be able to have. And so I hope those in the public who take the time to watch this leave with confidence that we share a lot of the same values and a lot of the same vision, and that we are working towards the same objectives with our visionary and effective bureau directors. And I'm leaving this conversation feeling like it was time extremely well spent. And I think we've put the appropriate questions to our bureau directors to come back for the next iteration of conversations. So I give it two thumbs up.
And I just wanted to add a personal thanks to each of the bureau directors. And I want to thank you specifically, Chief Gillespie, for stepping in since Sarah is on vacation, and you did an excellent job. This is hard work. If it was easy, it would already have been done, right? So I don't want anybody to leave thinking whatever it was their thing was actually wasn't discussed today. This is a, one of my dear friends says, this is a marathon and not a sprint, right? But there is a sense of urgency about us getting it right. Because honestly, I don't think we get another chance to get it right. So I thank each of you for really being leaning in today and bringing your truth. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to take a while before we see outcomes. But know that I'm committed to making sure that we have the best community safety system in the country. So thank you all, and I appreciate you being here today.
In our final minute or two, does anyone have something that we could have done better or that you didn't get or want to offer for future work sessions? It's okay. This is the culture we want. Tell us what we want to, we can do better.
Okay, this is...
I had a criticism, sorry.
This is more just an offer of like maybe for next time as a new commissioner. Maybe one thing would be if there's anything that perhaps Commissioner Mapps and I weren't privy to in terms of previous work session work or deliberation around certain things that we've all that are coming up for us.
Yeah.
but has been something that you've already thoroughly discussed. It would just be helpful to have some context coming into the meeting about what things were more recently, discussed or engaged upon.
Thank you.
You know, I appreciate that, Commissioner Rubio, because I don't know that we started with Public Safety Work Group has been meeting for 2 years, and this is why they came together and blah, 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 right? I think we just kind of jumped in right where all of us are. So I really appreciate that, Rubio.
Thank you. Commissioner Ryan or Mapps, anything else?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any criticism. Instead, I have thanks. Tom, I want to thank you for your excellent facilitation. I want to thank all the chiefs. I want to thank all the staff who helped make this possible. I also want to say that I have faith in this process, and I have faith in my colleagues on council, and I have faith in staff, and I have faith in Portland. So I encourage us all to keep working together and to hold on to that faith that we all share.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Job well done. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking my feedback from the last session. I felt like it was incorporated. I appreciate it. And I think it really is great government that all of us were in the same conversation at the same time about a really important issue. And I really stopped caring about, and I really try to do that on a daily basis, who's in charge of what bureau, because we're all five leaders that need to move this city in alignment. I'll just push one more time that we really need that crisis communication person on our team that can really keep us focused on these top priorities and get us out of our silos. Thanks so much.
Great. So Mayor, we'll do the follow-up. We'll get a memo out by the end of the week and we'll work with you and your teams. And that's all we have.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everybody. Excellent session. We are adjourned.